Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, May 20th, 2016. I am Jason Powell on the site today. Full results of last night's NXT television tapings leading into the NXT Revenge live special. My WWE SmackDown hit list is available. Jake Barnett's live coverage review of last night's SmackDown also. And of course, coming up this weekend, live coverage of the WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view event. I will be covering the show live, beginning with the kickoff show, 6 Central, 7 Eastern time on Sunday night. And then Jake Barnett and I will get together afterward for a member-exclusive audio review of the WWE Extreme Rules show. Speaking of which, that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. I want to give you guys kind of a quick preview of the written article that I'll be doing Sunday. I haven't written it yet, so I'm not going to be reading from it or anything like that, but just going to kind of give you my predictions. There's a chance I will change my tune by the time Sunday gets here, but I think this looks like a pretty straightforward show. It'll be held Sunday in Newark, New Jersey at Prudential Center, and I'm not going to start at the bottom and make you guys sit through all that. I'll start right at the top. The big match, Roman Reigns against AJ Styles in an Extreme Rules match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. With the Extreme Rules nature, if WWE wanted to do a title change, there's plenty of easy ways to protect Roman Reigns, but seeing as believing on this one. I mean, I think I'd look at it as being pretty straightforward, Roman. I mean, they don't even let AJ really get the better of him in one-on-one situations. AJ, even on SmackDown last night, AJ going for something at ringside, Roman blocks it, tackles him. I don't even remember how it went, but it's just, I think they went through the trouble of Roman Reigns winning the championship after nearly 7 hours of WrestleMania, despite the crowd's lack of enthusiasm for him. I don't see it changing here. As far as, could there be some sort of a new addition to the club, someone joined, maybe replacing AJ. Finn Balor, of course, is the name that people are going to keep bringing up. I mean, there just haven't been any seeds planted for that. And so I'm guessing it's fairly straightforward with Roman winning. And maybe at that point, something happens where AJ is upset with Anderson and Gallows. Or AJ doesn't deliver, and so Anderson and Gallows are upset with him. And maybe that's what leads to a replacement member, if you will, someone stepping forward and becoming the leader of the group instead of AJ Styles. And AJ still, I mean, I think WWE wants you to look at this however you want. I don't see them, Anderson and Gallows are heels. I don't necessarily see AJ Styles that way. And so until I see AJ just going all out heel, I'm just going to assume that sooner or later, if they're serious about the club, he is going to be replaced by someone. But I think they will start giving us some clues as to whether or not that's going to happen before we actually see it. So I don't think we're going to get any major development as far as that goes. So I have Reigns retaining the championship on Sunday. And then we have Charlotte and Natalya in a submission match for the WWE Women's Championship. Ric Flair banned from ringside because he's been such a naughty nature boy. I have Charlotte retaining here. Someday, Will Pruitt and I spoke about it in the roster evaluation. I think someday there is a great opportunity for WWE to give Natalya kind of that, it's her last chance to do this, and can she actually do it, world title reign. And I think it would be a real feel-good moment. I don't see that happening here. I think they clearly like what they have in Charlotte. I think they're building eventually, even though we're not seeing signs of it now. I mean, the big money feud, I think the way they look at it is Sasha Banks and Charlotte. And so even if they were to really surprise us and give Natalya a win, I think it would be a very brief thing. But I see Charlotte retaining here somehow, some way. Well, by submission, I just don't know how they get there, but I see Charlotte retaining on Sunday. Miz defending the Intercontinental title against Kevin Owens, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn in a fatal four-way match. This is the one I'm looking forward to the most. And I remember coming out of the last pay-per-view out of Payback, it's like, the whole four-way thing didn't jump off the page of me. It was like, well, it's a way they don't have to go back, I guess, to Owens and Zayn and run that feud into the ground as far as a singles match. I think they've done a terrific job of building this four-way match throughout the month. I mean, it's not just, the heels don't like the baby faces. I mean, they have issues. Miz and Owens have had issues for a while now. But now you have issues with Cesaro and Sami Zayn. And, of course, Cesaro has issues with the Miz. I mean, basically, they've done a great job of creating issues between all four men. It's a really fun dynamic. I'm looking forward to this match more than anything else in the show. I think Miz retains. I don't think it's a newsworthy show as far as major title changes are concerned. They just haven't really positioned anyone in a way where you think this could be their time. The four-way nature of it, if they want to get the title back on Owens for some reason, Maybe, but I mean, he stood tall on Raw Monday, and I just don't know that he needs the title right now. I think Miz is doing a fine job, and I think I just don't see a need for either Cesaro or Zayn to win it here. Zayn's the last guy I would have win the title, just because I think he works so much better as an underdog. I would really hold off on giving him his first title reign of any kind in WWE and tell a real big story with that has that really nice payoff to it. So not Sami Zayn's time in my mind, but I guess and if I'm doing the confidence pick style, I have Miz at the top of it. Then Owens pretty much tied with Cesaro, but I think this is Miz's title to hold on to on Sunday. And I am curious to see where they go with these guys coming out of this. I mean, do they go back to Owens and Zayn already? Do they go back to Cesaro, Miz? What happens with this this whole dynamic coming out of Extreme Rules? Another match is Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho in an Asylum match, and this is basically the Clockwork Orange, House of Lethal, Lockdown match. If you're familiar with bad TNA gimmick matches, it's kind of two in combined into one. I mean, I think it works for the Extreme Rules show to have a cage match with a bunch of weapons attached to it. It's not something you see all the time in WWE. If nothing else, I think they've done a good job of setting the tone for this feud in a way that this match doesn't feel like, ah, they're just doing it because it's Extreme Rules. You know, there's been tension between these guys. They've built it up to there's real heat. The feud feels like it's at a point where you can see why there's a need for the Asylum match. I guess. I mean, could they have dragged it out another month and then got to? Yeah, but I think at least it doesn't just feel random. Like these guys haven't really been feuding and suddenly they're having an Asylum match. Now there's been issues now, and they built them up nicely with Jericho attacking Ambrose. The SmackDown go home angle. Kind of another example of Ambrose being a little too cute. I thought that kind of took away from the right tone. I think Jericho was setting the right tone, and they just can't help themselves with Ambrose of making his character a little too, just he's always get a little too wacky at times. But I think this can be a fun match. I'm guessing Ambrose wins because it's the Asylum match. I just don't know if the how far they go plan to go with this program. If this is, I mean, if there's going to be more between these guys, and you would think that Jericho would get a win here to kind of necessitate. But I lean Ambrose in this one, and I don't think it's like Jericho's. I mean, he's advertised for matches throughout the summer, so it's not like he's going anywhere. So they certainly could stretch this out. But I'll go Ambrose since it is an Asylum match, with the cage and all the weapons, I think somehow, some way, Ambrose goes over. That's got kind of the tricky part with Jericho winning. There's probably a way to do it, but I mean, it's a cage match, and I just don't. I think they want, if Ambrose is going to lose to Jericho, they're going to want to give him an out, and I don't know what that out would be inside the Asylum cage. Yeah, Ambrose goes over here. Usos against Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows in a tag team tornado match, so all four guys are legal. They can just run around and beat the hell out of each other. This could be a lot of fun. I think they're burning through the Usos and Anderson and Gallows program prematurely. I mean, we've just seen too much of these teams, whether it's six-man tags or working against one another. I've been disappointed with what WWE has done with Anderson and Gallows as far as them losing matches early on in their run. I think it's a mistake. Getting beaten up by Roman Reigns in a two-on-one situations, he's just manhandling them. But I think in this situation, you're going to see Anderson and Gallows go over. I think it's the I'd be really shocked and disappointed if they didn't, because these teams will play some part, you have to assume, in the main event of the show. And so I think you want the heels going over here. If the heels don't go over here, then I really fear for, what the future holds in WWE for Anderson and Gallows. I have them winning. New Day defending the tag titles against the Vaudevillains. The Vaudevillains keep beating them up, and New Day just keep being their same old usual shiny happy selves. Nothing seems to rattle them, and I think that's something that needs to change with New Day. Didn't have to be for the Vaudevillains, but I think they need to kind of turn the corner on this. The fun-loving stuff, well, it's what brought them to the dance. People like that part of New Day, but I think once they start to add a bit of an edge where somebody does what the Vaudevillains have been doing to them, gets under their skin, gets them angry, they show a different side of themselves, that's when I think you might see some money in a New Day program. I don't think this is a money program by any means, just because. Yeah, I mean, New Day keeps getting beaten up by them, but again, they're not selling it, and it just, the Vaudevillains just kind of unfortunately feel like challengers of the month. Yeah, so I mean, I have New Day retaining here. I'd like to see WWE do a little something with the Vaudevillains, but I don't think it happens here. I think New Day holds on to the tag titles, and I want to see if this is a multi-month. You know, if they go, if do we get more than one pay-per-view match out of this between New Day and the Vaudevillains? Do they extend this program somehow, or is it kind of a one and done for the Vaudevillains? And if it is one and done, what do they do next with these guys? Where do they go? Where do they sit in the crowded tag division? Are they do they quickly become heroes of superstars and main event? I hope they don't. I think they've been impressive with their mic work. It hasn't all been all pretty in the ring for Simon Gotch at times, and of course the Enzo situation. But hopefully these guys are have done enough or will do enough in this match to kind of earn consideration for more than just being another random WWE tag team that doesn't mean anything. Kalisto and Rusev for the U.S. Championship. This is the one where, all right, if you're going to see a title change on the show, I would think it would be this match. Rusev, I thought he was in the process of being rebuilt, and then they had Sin Cara beat him. Stop and think about that for a moment. Sin Cara beat Rusev. So Rusev finally gets rid of League of Nations. He's challenging for a title. He wins a battle royal to earn the right to challenge for a title. And they have him get beaten by a guy who everyone beats. Everyone beats Sin Cara. Even the fake Sin Cara beats Sin Cara. Everyone beats Sin Cara. Hell, this is the fake Sin Cara. If he could pin himself, he would. But Rusev loses to him. Not a fan. But I'm hopeful that it's just, well, Rusev is going to win the U.S. Championship and they're not going to look back. However, even if he wins, a little bit of a fear here. Is he winning this just so the setup, he can be the setup guy, to a quick transitional guy, basically, so that when John Cena comes back, he can win that U.S. Championship again? I know John Cena had some great open challenge matches, and some people would probably be like, hey, I wouldn't mind seeing that again. I don't want to just see them get stuck in the same rut with John Cena and just kind of relive things. I don't think he has that. They talk about this being a new era, but I don't think there are that many fresh opponents for John Cena in this anyway. Guys on the main roster who he hasn't faced, even though they've had some call-ups. I don't know if there's enough to really stretch that out. I want to see John Cena do other things. Even Will Pruitt brought up the idea of John Cena being a guy who he's won every title in WWE with the exception of the Intercontinental title. Let him go for the Grand Slam. There's a way to market that. He's going for trying to be that rare guy to hold all the major championships in WWE. I like that more than just, he's back and he's taken the U.S. title on, week one or something. But I do think Rusev escapes this match with the U.S. championship. But I think I probably called for someone to take the U.S. title from Kalisto every month because I'm just so uninspired by what they've done with Kalisto. Kalisto's a guy who should have carried on the open challenge tradition. I've said that repeatedly because he's an underdog. And when you put him in there with basically anyone in an open challenge environment, you're thinking there's a chance this guy loses the title tonight. You pay a lot more attention to his matches. They didn't take that approach. They just have him lose a bunch of non-title matches and tag matches. They don't do anything with this guy, but he always seems to win on, hold on to the title on the kickoff show. And this is so far not listed as a kickoff show match. Maybe that's our clue. Maybe they want to have this on the main card for Rusev to win the U.S. Championship. Whatever happens here, Rusev is a guy that I really hope they do something. I like Kalisto, but I'm just so down on what they've done, and he's so generic as far as like his babyface persona. He just his, everything he says is a cliche, and so I'd like to see them kind of find what works with that character, try again. But Rusev is a guy that they've wasted ever since WrestleMania 31 when he had the greatest damn entrance of all time. It's time to get him back on track, and I say the first step is him becoming the U.S. champion again. The kickoff show match is Dolph Ziggler against Baron Corbin. It's a no disqualification match. Yes, they had Dolph Ziggler beat Baron Corbin last month, and I just still roll my eyes at that. I can't believe they did that. It was just too soon for Baron Corbin to lose a match in WWE. I'm not saying every heel needs to come in and be unbeaten for a while, but not every wrestler on the roster has to come in and trade wins and losses either. That was a mistake, and I think ultimately, Baron Corbin wins this feud. They gave Dolph a win on SmackDown over Sheamus. I think he loses here. I think Baron Corbin wins in the no DQ match. If he doesn't win, I don't even care if he beats up Dolph afterward and all that. I'm going to be really worried about him, but I don't think it's an issue we need to be concerned with. I think Baron Corbin wins and ends up basically moving on from here, I would hope. I don't think Baron Corbin needs to spend too much time feuding with Dolph Ziggler and another guy where I'm looking forward to seeing what's next coming out of Extreme Rules for Baron Corbin. I wish I could say that about Dolph. Nothing against the guy. It's just he's been in WWE and hanging around the mid and undercard for too long. I can't say I care. But those are your Extreme Rules predictions. Again, join me on Sunday night for live coverage. I mentioned members will have exclusive access to the audio review that Jake Barnett and I will do after the show. Those tend to run anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. If you are looking for some long-form audio this weekend, my God, do we have a series for you. Will Pruitt and I have spent the last 3 weeks, three different parts of the .NET Weekly audio show, doing our annual WWE roster evaluation. Eventually, we will do these for TNA and NXT and Ring of Honor as well. But this time, it's the WWE main roster, and it's quite the challenge. And I still haven't timed it out completely. I'll say it's between 5 and 6 hours. It may be over six for all I know, but I know we had a couple of the shows over 2 hours. So it's certainly over 5 hours of audio content reviewing each and every member of the WWE main roster. And so it's probably our most popular series of the year. Not that we do a ton of series, but really good feedback whenever we do the roster evaluations. People really enjoy those. And so if you're looking for a lot of audio, maybe you got a long trip or long drive this weekend, whatever, or you just want to chill out and listen, maybe you got some yard work to do, this is a great series for you. I think you would enjoy it. Membership is available on the main page of ProWrestling.net in the sign-up area. You can sign up for $7.50 for 1 month ad-free. Everything on the site ad-free, and the members also are placing their V-Bookie bets in the members forum. No, I'm not running an illegal gambling operation. I wish I was. My God. I think of the money. It just, the whole life of crime thing and waiting for the cops to show up to bust my illegal gambling operation doesn't sound like a lot of fun. So we keep it mythical, but the betting lines are set in the members forum, and we have a good time with that. And so you can go in and see if you can beat the house and place your bets on the WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view. We do this for every WWE main roster show, and I'm guessing I'll do the same for the NXT show coming up. Got a busy time. June, there's like all the major promotions have shows. You have the NXT TakeOver special. TNA has Slammiversary. Ring of Honor has, I think, Best in the World coming up. WWE, of course, with their monthly show. So it really is a great time to sign up for membership and enjoy all those perks and all the coverage of those various shows. And we will be doing audio reviews of each and every one of those shows, too. But again, membership rates start at $7.50. But if you want to save yourself a little bit of coin, you can take advantage of our six-month pricing option, or whittle the price down. You're going to save the most if you take the annual option. That brings the average price down to $5.50 per month for .NET membership. Again, all the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. If you have any questions on that, you are welcome to hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. Shoot me an email, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just be sure to spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. And finally today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment to rate and review us on iTunes. You are really helping spread the word when you do that. And for that matter, when I send out the link to today's show or any show for that matter, if you could take a moment to give it a retweet, that is greatly appreciated as well. A big thanks to everyone who has taken a moment somehow, some way to help spread the word about the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast. That is it for today. I'll be back on Sunday night with Jake Barnett for the audio review of Extreme Rules, available exclusively for members. So until then, thanks for listening. Take care.